Space. It's a place. And a bunch of people are going to space. The final frontier. Where no one's gone before. The people who go to space are members of an elite squad known as the Starfleet. These are their stories. I'm reading my notes to remember what happened in these episodes. And the answer is nothing good. Nothing good happened.
Wow, nothing good in either one. That's extreme.
These were weird episodes, and I know that's why you picked them, but it was a lot being my first dip into Star Trek.
It isn't your first dip though. Like that
It's the first time I've actually it's the first time I've watched it and like tried to pay attention.
Yeah. So let's start there. Let's talk about why we're doing this podcast.
So
in case people don't know.
All my friends like Star Trek and I don't. Or at least I've never given it a chance. I was not a Star Trek kid. We watched Star Wars in our household.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
My mom apparently likes the original series of Star Trek, which I never knew because I told her about this podcast and she was like, wow, sounds great.
Is she excited? Is she going to listen?
I don't know. Probably.
You know, yeah. I love Mary Lynch.
Yeah. So we thought or Jess thought or I don't remember who thought it would be funny if Jess picked Star Trek episodes for me to watch and I had to discuss them as somebody who just never watched the show. And I'm not going to be watching the show through. I'm just watching episodes that have been hand curated and giving my unfiltered thoughts and opinions.
Yeah.
So
on my end, I've picked episodes. Like I'm a lifelong Star Trek fan. I remember watching when Next Generation came out, but probably not right away because I've only been three. But certainly by like 1990, I was watching it regularly because I had action figures and stuff in second grade. I think in second grade, actually, I dressed up as a Star Trek character for Halloween. Nerd. Like I had the uniform. Yeah, okay. So what? You can't change me. I'm a bad bitch. So I watch it all the time. And then I think it must have been like a year and a half ago. It was before I moved in this apartment, but we watched as a team some of the Star Trek movies in Discord all together.
Virtually.
Quarantine activity. Yeah. And Becca did not pay attention and she was drinking and she swore a whole lot and it just was real belligerent.
No.
Which is classic Becca, really.
Only one of those things is correct.
Which one?
In that I did not pay attention because oh, I just wanted to hang out with my friends. I don't like to be left out, but I didn't pay attention to the films. Mm. So,
yeah. So we'll eventually have to watch a couple of those and talk about them. But so we're starting essentially each episode of the podcast is going to cover one series. And I've picked two episodes for Becca from each series. And I've kind of chosen ones that I would designate as one is considered good by most people and one is considered bad by most people.
Oh, do I have to guess which one's good and which one's bad?
That is a part of the question. I have some regular, like I have questions I'm going to ask you about each episode, but we'll also just kind of have a discussion around it. And
okay.
I've got stuff to talk about, some background stuff if you've got questions or whatever. Like, I'm excited to dig into it. It should be fun for me. I don't know how you're going to feel about it.
Well, so on that note, before we get into the episodes in particular, I thought before I watched anything, it would be funny if I wrote down all that I know about Star Trek.
Yes.
Because the idea for this podcast came from when David made me watch a Star Trek episode, and you said, which one? And I said, the one with the Borg. And you said, what did the Borg do? And I said, they did Borg stuff. And apparently everybody thought that was a faux pas that was hilarious.
No, I mean, so, it's accurate. The Borg absolutely do Borg stuff.
So I wrote down everything that I knew about Star Trek at the time. This was before I watched these first two episodes.
I'm so excited to hear this.
Okay. So first, number one, multiple series with different characters and they do not overlap. I think that's correct.
Okay.
There are Borgs and they do Borg stuff. And they are bad, question mark. There is someone slash thing named Q who is also bad, question mark. There is a ship called the Enterprise. People are often gay and hot. We boldly go where no one has gone before, but every time there are definitely people who have been there before. Picard is a person. And there is something about a vineyard. Earth is a socialist paradise, but for some reason they feel the need to spend all their time in space, which I don't understand. Data is not human, but is also the most human. Dead, question mark? takes place in the future, which is different from Star Wars, which already happened. And San Francisco got upzoned a lot. And that's all I have.
That is true. That's David's favorite thing to say whenever we watch anything and they show a shot of San Francisco. He's like, the most unrealistic part about Star Trek is that they upzoned Marin County. It's like, okay, David, we get it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's all I know. So just
At the end of the series, we're going to have to come back to this list and see if you were right or wrong.
I think they're all correct.
Okay, you can think that, sure.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that they're all correct. Feel good
about it. So you already know the whole thing about the show. We don't even really need to be watching it. It's figured out.
Yeah, got it figured out.
Podcast is done. We did it. Okay, so I think if you're coming to us from our other podcast, it could be a little bit different because this is a more focused discussion, whereas in the old podcast, sometimes we just talk about like a single color for 40 minutes and then
read this podcast is serious business. Yeah, this one's
is real. We recorded a theme song, which hopefully you've heard or will hear shortly. There's commercial breaks. You know, we've got really important sponsors that you'll be hearing from. And I don't know how long it's going to run. I really have no concept. We didn't do a test run. We're very improvisational people. So, you know, good luck to all of us. So
I'm excited.
We'll talk about one episode and then probably do our break and then talk about the other one. How long has it been since we did our last Unholy Pod episode? Is it 2 months?
A month and a half-ish? 2 months?
Okay. Yeah. So we got to get back into it. We haven't done
this. It was when my mom was here. So yeah.
We actually haven't spoken to each other since that day.
Correct. This is it.
Okay. So this week we're covering the original series. It started the Star Trek. Do you know when it premiered?
In the 70s.
Close.
60s.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
really old.
With the original series, I never actually watched the episodes. I had, and I'll show you, you'll see in the camera, you won't see it at home, but I have this book called the Star Trek Compendium, and it was published in like 1991 or two.
Wow.
And it just has summaries of all the episodes with a bunch of background information, because I had seen the Star Trek movies but I had never really watched the original series, and obviously I watched Next Generation, so I was like, what's this old Star Trek? I know these two from the movies. And it turns out I don't actually like the original series, which is funny to say because it's the foundation for the rest of it, but it's too campy for me. And the production values are low, and the universe is inconsistent, which is something I'll probably talk about a bunch as we go through. But so that's where I'm coming from. So I did watch, just before we recorded, I rewatched Amok Time, which I'd never seen. But the first episode we'll talk about then is Amok Time, which was, I think, the second or third episode in the second season, if I'm right here. So you tell me, give me a summary, like a 5-minute explanation of what the episode is about.
So I took a lot of notes. I want people Great. To know that I took this seriously. I was going to watch it while I folded laundry, and then I was like, this requires some focus and attention. So my summary is that there's a guy named Spock. He okay. is so horny that he's going to die. And if he can't have sex, he will die. That's about it. That's pretty yeah. much the summary. So they bring him to Vulcan, which is where he's from, and mm-hmm. he has to do a mating ritual. First of all, before that, he is too embarrassed to admit that he's so horny that he's going to die, because he's apparently a very logical guy, and it doesn't make sense that he has to get his dick wet. So,
honk if you're horny.
Yeah, yeah, he's incredibly embarrassed, so he won't tell anyone why he has to go to Vulcan. He's just like, guess I'll die. Like, would rather die than admit that I gotta...
If I can't fuck, I'm just gonna so throw over horny. And die.
Just the That's most the hill horny I'm gonna die I've ever on. Been in my life. And so finally, the doctor gives him an inspection and is like, he's gonna die in like a week. We don't get him to Vulcan.
He's like, you gotta fuck him, Captain Kirk. It's the only solution.
And then Captain Kirk walks in on Spock looking at like child porn. Pictures of a like young Vulcan girl on his computer, and he like closes it real quick. It's real shameful.
He's like, no, I research.
Yeah. He says it's a deeply personal thing, biology. And he's very upset that he has to have sex. It makes him very angry. So there's a lady that pops up on the screen, and she's apparently his wife. They got married when they were 7, which is wild. And he's got to get beamed down.
That's why
he had
the picture of the little kid.
Yeah. He's got to get beamed down to his planet so he can have sex with her or something. The beaming was ridiculous. I did write that down. Like, just so silly. And the planet was so, the effects were so campy and silly. I did write down that they did the hand thing when they were on Vulcan. There was a lot of
Becca's
this
Becca's doing the hand
on.
Thing right now. She can do it, folks.
Got it. yeah. So he sees his lady. They start this ritual. And then there's a twist. Because she's like, actually, I pick Kirk as my guy, who's not Vulcan. And there's an old lady who's in charge of this whole ceremony, and she's like, well, that's them's the rules, I guess.
Sometimes it's like that. I don't know what to tell you.
So that means that Spock and Kirk have to fight to the death. Very exciting. They fight, and then McCoy gives Kirk this, like, you know, poppers or something that makes him die, but only a little bit. He dies for like a minute, and then he's fine.
He gets over it real quick.
Yeah. So because he looks dead, then they think the ritual's over. But then Spock is like, just kidding, I don't actually want to be with you. And his wife is like, that's fine, because I actually have this boyfriend already, so it's cool. So then they all get back on the ship, and then it turns out Kirk is alive. And then Spock gets so excited for like 1 second. He smiles and he's like, oh, Jim! And I wrote that down. And then he goes right back to being dead
serious.
He's
like, I mean, whatever. Fuck you, bro.
Yeah. That's my synopsis. I think it's pretty accurate. I paid attention.
You did. I can tell there was a lot of attention paid to this.
Thank you.
So... The woman that he married, or he was betrothed to, is how he describes it. Like, we're not really married, but like we're supposed to be.
It's an arranged
real child
marriage.
Bride situation. You know how those go. She is the one that didn't want to marry him. Like she sets it up so that he's going to fight somebody else. And then she's like, if you had won, you wouldn't want to be with me because I like this other guy. If you had lost, you wouldn't get to be with me. And if your friend had won, he wouldn't want to be with me because he doesn't get it. And he'd be sad he killed you. And he's like, damn, that's logical.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is it though?
I don't think so.
Is that how logic works?
The logical thing would have been like, I don't actually want to marry you. And then they all could have moved on with their lives. personally.
Yeah, and just we didn't even have to go there. But he, so the thing with Ponfar is the name of the thing that brought him there. The rule is you either have to fuck or you got to fight. And it's one or the other. You can't just not do either.
It's the new fight or flight. It's
yeah, fight or fuck. Yeah, it's terrifying. You don't want to run into them. So things you should know about Vulcans, right? They're stronger than humans. Their planet's super hot. They're up on a mountain, thin atmosphere. It's like being in Denver, but worse.
Yeah, I got that. They couldn't breathe for shit.
Yeah, and Becca was like, whatever, just get used to it.
That's Jess when she lands in Denver. She'd be like,
I immediately have to fuck or fight, and I can't breathe. It's terrible.
She dies for 2 minutes, and then she comes back.
Yeah, just a little, and everyone smiles, but they're like, actually, we don't care.
Yeah.
So, fine. Spock is half human. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
That's why it was a whole thing when he was like, hey, don't make me fight Captain Kirk. He doesn't get it. And she was like, oh, really? Is that your human shit talking, you piece of trash? Because Vulcans are super racist against humans.
I got that vibe. Yeah. So Vulcans, they talk a lot about logic. It seems that's their whole thing.
It is.
And yeah. And they really don't like humans.
Accurate.
They were very offended that Spock had two human friends, Kirk and Dr. McCoy, I think.
Yeah. They were shocked. Which is funny because I don't know. You really haven't seen very much other Star Trek, but Kirk is like the center of McCoy and Spock. And McCoy is like the emotional, let's just fuck everything side. And Spock's like the logical, let's only fuck something side. So the two of them are like two sides of Kirk, and he brings them together. And they never kiss. And that's weird. But they should.
That's offensive.
Yeah.
Is it honestly, homophobic?
Homophobic, yeah.
Yeah.
But so it was funny because Spock's like, yeah, Dr. McCoy's my friend, whatever. But they act whatever, like they hate each other all the time. And McCoy's racist too because he calls him like a green-blooded hobgoblin, which like in that universe, that's super racist.
Yeah, don't like that.
But we play it for laughs because Spock brushes it off. Mm. So the other thing about their relationship, Kirk and Spock, and really the three of them even, is like fan fiction existed before Star Trek, but most people say that's when it really took off. Is people like, I just want to see these two men have
McCoy
sex
and
with
Spock
each other.
And
they
and
never
Spock.
Do any of them, any combination there. But
any
I would think mostly Kirk
three.
And Spock. Yeah. So they were just like, he wants to love him, but he has to repress his emotions. Because the thing about Vulcans is they have emotions. They just
they
choose to repress them. Because in their past, they were super violent and they just all punched each other. It was a whole thing. So now they're like, we're not going to feel nothing. But
we're
they
cool
do,
now.
And they repress it. And that's why every 7 years they have the Ponfar and have to go fuck.
Nice. All right, makes sense.
So, yeah, so that's some background for you on why this happened. And then this episode is actually the first time we saw any other Vulcans besides Spock, who is only half Vulcan. So it was like foundational for the whole universe there because we'd never been to the planet. We'd never seen any other Vulcans. We don't know what their whole thing is. And it turns out they're kind of weird. Big on ceremony. They got goofy
Very
hats.
Warm there.
Weird weapons. What did you think of the music when they were fighting? Like, do you remember it at all?
I don't remember it, if I'm honest.
It's this stupid thing that's like... Bam, 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 and the rest of it was like a bass line. Spock's sad solo bass line was his music.
I remember it being very silly.
Yeah. It was over the top. It was very like 60s sci-fi music.
I have my candid notes. So I was just like stream of consciousness writing down things as I was watching it. So for the fight, I have, do they have to kill each other? ? Or just fight? If he accidentally wins, is he married now? ? They now must fight with things that look like axes, but are stupider. They have to fight to the death. Seems like they could have said that sooner. And then
I think the axes are called Lerpa.
I have a quote from David that just says boob window, and I don't know what that
is. It's
because
Captain Kirk's shirt got sliced right across his tits.
Great. Okay. Then I said...
Which was a whole thing in the old series.
I said, Spock is so horny, he's ready to do a murder. This chick is a psychopath, lol. Oh no, Kirk is dead. Wait, so the bride doesn't even like Spock? What a bitch.
Yeah, that's true.
And then Spock said, having is not so often as pleasing as wanting, which very wise. Very wise.
Yeah. Quote.
And then I just
he gets it.
Jim in all caps with a smiley emoji because he was so happy.
It's true. It was. Yeah, that was. So their relationship, like, you're only going to get snapshots because you're not going to watch the whole series. Of all the stuff that comes out of there is, like, the relationship between the characters is, for me, what is important beyond, like, establishing the universe. Because the individual episodes, they're so campy and 60s, and it's a lot of it's real stupid. But
yep,
those characters have strong relationships to the point, like, where you get, you know, the Star Trek 2009 movies, they hardly spend any time establishing who the characters are because they know you already know who they are. You're like, this is Kirk and Spock. These guys, they love each other. He's got pointy ears. It's weird. I don't know. But I just feel like they did so well with the relationships in the old series that they have never had to tell you who those people are again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's see. So one of the questions I have for here, because and this will be more relevant in later episodes, but who is the main character of the episode?
I feel like it was Spock, if I'm honest.
Yeah, Stucca. Ding, ding, ding. You got
ding,
it.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, nicely
done. Get those
done.
Sound effects in there.
I will. This is going to be filled with sound effects. I need to look up and see if we can put little audio from the episode in here. I think we can, because this
probably
is like criticism and commentary. So I think we're covered. Plus, only 10 people are going to listen to this, so it doesn't matter.
Correct.
Hi,
10 people.
Okay.
Hi, our friends and immediate family.
Yeah. Hey, Brandon. Assam, how's it going? So... do you have other, like, candid observations that are funny that you want to share from that episode?
Let's see.
He threw that soup pretty hard. That nice blonde lady was just trying to be his friend.
Yeah, I have. Spock is acting weird. He's not eating. Spock hates the soup. In all the years I've known you, you've never taken leave. Okay, so why wouldn't they be excited that he's taking leave now? Why do they care where he goes? Spock says, I need rest. And then I inserted more like breast. Am I right? I said the music
point
is all very slow and unsettling.
It's because Spock was being weird.
And then I said, okay, so now we have to go somewhere else. Spock cannot go get his dick wet, and he is understandably frustrated. Spock decided to take matters into his own hands, to order them to go to Vulcan anyway. Now he's in trouble, and will have to explain that this was all a ploy to get his dick wet. He proceeds to ask to be locked away. He literally wants to go to horny jail.
Gotta bonk him.
Bonk.
Bonk with the phaser.
And then I had, he'll die, Jim. Imagine being so horny you're going to die. And then
I think
I have
if
little,
anybody, Kirk can get that.
Little asexual harassment is happening when Spock is talking to the blonde lady.
Yeah, that's Dr. Chapel. Oh, well, Nurse Chapel in this series. Nurse.
Nice. Yeah, that's pretty much all my... Okay, he's bringing the captain to the planet's surface. How lovely. At this point, I'm picturing that it's just a massive orgy.
Everyone's got to do
notes.
This. We don't know.
Yeah, that's most of my notes.
Okay, nice. So the version you saw is also remastered. So when you said the effects were kind of cheesy, imagine that those are better effects than what you would have seen way
incredible
back in the 60s. Yeah, because like the shots of the ship flying around the planet and whatever, those were remade in CG maybe 10 years ago now. It might have been a little bit longer because I think they were releasing these while I was at Border, so it might have been longer. But they, the way they filmed it, they could upscale the film so that it could look nice enough on modern monitors or screens. But they also redid a lot of the special effects. So yeah, what you're seeing is loads better. So like those long shots of them walking over the bridge to the little arena area.
Yeah.
None of that is what it looked like in the 60s. It would have looked way worse. And obviously they were on a set, like it was just a red backdrop with crap built there. So different than a lot of what you would see now, but yeah. So good observations. So what did you like about it, if anything? Was there any part of it that you're like, this isn't too bad?
Let's see.
And it's okay if there was nothing. Like I said, I don't even like the original series.
I don't know. I really didn't. I mean, I liked the silliness of it. The concept was very funny to me that he was so embarrassed that he couldn't tell anyone. that he needed to go get fucked. Like, that was very, that was really funny to me. But the rest of it, yeah, really strange, campy. The twists were weird. I don't know. It wasn't that confusing. Like, I was able to figure out what was happening pretty simply, but not a fan. Not a fan. Just generally silly.
What did you absolutely hate about it, if anything?
I really didn't like the whole, like, the whole time that they were on Vulcan. I really didn't like the, like, the music, the set, the premise that they had to fight or fuck, or, like, and the characters in that whole scene.
It's one or the other.
The old lady and the bride were all pretty terrible characters, in my opinion. So, yeah, not a fan.
Okay, you know, fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough.
What questions did you have about things after watching this episode? Were you like, I need to know why they did this, or...
Yeah,
like, what about what you saw was like, what the fuck?
Really, like, why? Because the whole premise was that he had to go for the mating ceremony, and then in the end, he's just like, actually, I'm good, and then they just leave. And that didn't make sense as a viewer, that he could just choose to not, because, like, at the beginning of the episode, the premise was he was going to die if he didn't do this, and then he figures out that he's no longer interested, which was confusing as a viewer, that he could just choose at the end to be like, actually, just not into her. It's fine.
Instead of being horny, simply don't.
Just don't. Yeah. Just, like, don't.
Yeah, I think that's something they didn't explain super well, because there's an episode in a later series that touches back on this, and it's called Blood Fever. Ponfar means blood fever. And you have to fight until you purge the thing. Like, you have to get so angry that you don't want to have sex anymore, I guess. Okay. Or you just have to have sex. And it doesn't have to be with your ritual beloved, but it can, and it should, typically, is how they would do it. Their society is, like, very... They say, this is the box in which we live, and we like it. It's a nice box. Let's just do that all the time. So what we usually see as viewers in the universe is when it doesn't go that way.
I see.
But that's the other thing to consider. Like, in the world, every Vulcan who's an adult, every 7 years is like, oh my God, I need to fuck. And they can have sex other times, but it's not the same.
It's not the same.
You could have sex the day before. No, doesn't count. You got to have it when that fever hits.
When you get that feeling,
you need sexual healing is the thing.
Oh, wow.
I'll ask the last question after we talk about the second episode.
All right. Well, I'm
ready. What did you think about the general setting of the show in general? Like, this can be our bridge between the two episodes, is like the production design and kind of those aspects.
Honestly, now knowing that it came out in the 60s, it could be a lot worse. Again, I watched the remastered versions, apparently, which I didn't know, but I definitely could have been worse. I think that the set, at least on the ship, was simple, which I liked. Like, as somebody just starting to watch it, I didn't feel like I needed to, like, grasp this huge universe. It was, like, a very contained environment. Mm-hmm. And then even, like, on Vulcan, they just land and then they walk to this place and then they're there. So I appreciated that, because I hate when you jump into a new show and there's, like, so many characters and so much going on, and it was fairly simple. So I appreciated that. Yeah, I didn't hate it. I'm just not a sci-fi fan, which is why I've never watched it before.
That makes sense. I'm surprised you have no comments on the uniforms of the men versus the women.
Oh, yeah. See, that was interesting. I did feel like that kind of contributed to the overall horniness of the show. Like, just in general. And I have thoughts on that in the next episode as well.
Okay.
But,
yeah. Yeah. I suspected you were there, because I know what the characters in that one, some of them wear. So I remember when we told Alex to watch Star Trek when we were helping him watch that.
And he was like, it's so horny.
Why is every episode so horny?
It's all very horny.
And that was Next Generation, though. That's our next episode in the podcast here. But
so that one's more horny?
It starts more horny, I think. It probably starts as horny. But I don't think I'm having you watch that episode. I guess I could. That's the thing, is there's so many. It was hard to narrow down which episodes to have you watch for the series that I really like. Because even the ones that are bad in the later series, I'm like, oh, it's bad, but I love it. You know, it's different than this one, than the original series. All right, great. Then we'll take our break here.
Nice.
And we'll come back and we'll talk about our second episode, which was Spock's Brain. Do you love all-you-can-eat salad bars but hate touching the same tongs as other people? You need Sandra's Salad Toss. Sandra's Salad Toss is the only fast-casual vegetable dispensary taking social distancing and hygiene to the extreme by firing your salad at you from a decommissioned t-shirt cannon. Romaine, kale, spinach, radicchio, cucumbers, croutons, awkwardly chopped bits of hard-boiled egg. All of it launches to your table, along with the dressing of your choice. Nothing combines the fun of a night out at a hibachi restaurant with the pure terror of high-velocity produce like Sandra's. Their promise to you is that after every meal, their shock-and-awe combination of a sensual roughage and fear is guaranteed to move your bowels to completion. Can't make it to the restaurant? Sandra's Salad Toss now offers contact-free delivery. Order your salad through the mobile app, then open the nearest window to get bombarded by freshness. Sandra's Salad Toss, helping you make healthier choices by eating better and staying further away from people. Filthy, disgusting people. Use code ASTARISTREK for 10% off your first face blasting.
Are we back from our break?
We are back, and thank you to our sponsor this week. It means a lot to have you supporting us. Great product. Please, please reach out and take advantage of the code that we have. Okay, so second episode was Spock's Brain. This was early in the third season. To give you some context, now that you've watched it, between the second and third season, basically Star Trek, the original series, is always at risk of being canceled at the end of each series.
As and it should have been.
It was rough, right? And it was not the kind of show people were used to watching then. Like, space shows were, if I'm remembering correctly, were mostly like Flash Gordon and stuff like that were really like adventure-y, lasers, and really overdone. If you've ever seen a 60s sci-fi movie, you know. So this was much more, in a way, cerebral. Gene Roddenberry, who's the creator of it, pitched it as Wagon Train to the Stars. So it's like a Western in space, right? It's like you have all these outposts, and this is the traveling group that goes and tries to keep things calm or whatever. So between the second and third season, it only got three seasons. There's 79 episodes. It was going to get canceled, and the fans did a letter-writing campaign to save it. But when NBC, which was the network that was showing it at the time, brought it back, they cut the budgets. There was no money. Lucy from I Love Lucy was one of the people responsible for saving it, because it's actually produced, if you watch all the way through, it's produced by Desi Liu, which was her production company.
Her husband.
And she, yeah. She's like, we're doing fucking Star Trek. I love Star Trek. So,
wow.
Yeah, that's Lucy's fault that Star Trek's still around. So she helps keep it on. The letters come on, but they cut the money, and Gene Roddenberry kind of steps back and let other people run it. But the quality of the show got a lot worse. Like, the sets got worse. Some of the costumes and other things got worse. And the scripts got worse. So a little bit of a change. There are still good episodes in the third season, but it kind of goes off the rails a couple times. You're not going to watch it, but I'll tell you, the last episode of the original series is a story in which Kirk says, we don't allow women to become captains in Starfleet because they're too emotional. And so the plot is a woman swaps her mind into Kirk's body and his into hers, which I feel like he'd be super into, really. And then she goes and tries to be captain, and she's bad at it because she is too emotional, just hysterical up there.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Women.
Yeah. You ever notice women can't be captains? I did.
They'd be crazy.
So it kind of took a dive there, and then was off the air for 10 years before the movies came out. But we'll talk about that when we get to the movie segment. So this episode's Box Brain, go ahead and tell me your summary of it.
So the summary that Paramount Plus gave me was Kirk pursues aliens who have taken Spock's brain.
Wow.
So the episode starts, there's a lady, she beams aboard. She's got real skimpy 60s outfit on. All of a sudden, everyone's asleep. They wake up, and Spock's brain is gone. So he's on a bed, and the doctor's like, I don't know, man. No brain. But for some very scientific reasons, he is still alive now, but won't be in 24 hours. How they know that, they do not specify. They just say,
science.
It's science. He's alive now. He won't be alive in 24 hours. His brain's gone.
Great.
Kirk thinks he can find it, even though he has to look through the entire galaxy. They have no idea where this lady's from and what she's doing here and why she took his brain. So then they use some deduction. So they say, well, she breathes air, right? So
that rules out a whole bunch of places.
Yeah. Apparently, there's a lot of places that don't breathe air. So they find three planets that they call Earthish and say, like, let's go to these planets. It's got a livable temperature of 40 degrees, which apparently they say is not, one guy is like, you have thick skin if you think 40 degrees is livable, which I thought was silly because 40 degrees is lovely.
Well, so that's Celsius, though, would be my guess, right?
No, because the planet's cold.
Oh, okay.
40 degrees Celsius would be like 110 degrees.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah, I couldn't remember
how hot planet. It was. It's a cold planet. It's cold.
Okay.
It's all icy, but it's 40 degrees. So they say there are like humanoids on this planet. They look like humans. They're kind of like cavemen-ish. They're kind of walking around. And then I have a note that says, oh my God, the set is so bad. It looks like a high school play, which it did. It looked like a high school play. Looks
it
like
does,
cardboard,
yes.
Icicles, just really, really awful. Kirk speaks to these cave people in English, assuming they speak English, and they do, which I find strange. David said something about a universal
translator.
Which,
yeah.
Whatever. Feels like a cop-out for the writers to be like, don't worry about it. They all speak the same language. It's fine.
Okay.
This caveman guy talks about the others who come and bring pain, and he says they're already here. So he's like, look out, they're here, keep your wits about you. And Kirk's like, where are your women? And they're like, are what?
The hell are you talking about? Those aren't things.
That's not real. So there's apparently no women on this planet. And then they go underground, and there's like a whole city underground where there are only women and men wearing belts that control them. And apparently they can tell that Spock is here. They have the Spock body. I wrote Spock is here, but he's a remote controlled Spock. This is weird. So they have Spock's body and someone's controlling him with he's like a little RC car, you know, walking around. They found another lady. She's scantily clad. She doesn't know anything about a brain. Same. Is what I wrote. They can hear Spock's voice, so they know Spock is here in this underground city. They find the evil lady that came in the beginning and stole the brain. She makes them sleep again, so they all just, you know, do a little night-night, quick nap. So then we start to figure out that the others that the cavemen were speaking about are the hot ladies who live underground and seem to control the cavemen with belts that like electrocute them if
belts.
They don't do what they're told.
They're like shock
she
collars.
Says she has no idea about anything, including where the brain is, so she's just real dumb. Apparently that's like a whole thing, is all these women are dumb. She says she's in charge, but she doesn't know anything about anything. She's just kind of wandering around, which is like, you know, we've all been there.
She got weird. They say
they're like looking for the controller, and she freaks the fuck out. Kurt and co beat up the guard guys. Nice.
You got him. Absolutely.
They find the room with the controller and they get their belts off. So, like, apparently Spock's brain is now this thing called the controller that's, like, helping run this city, right? Is kind of what I'm getting at. And it has all the knowledge, and they need a brain to keep it alive, which is why they stole Spock's brain. This is my take on the situation.
Okay.
So apparently her brain, this lady, has atrophied, as has all these other ladies' brains have all atrophied, which is why they need a brain for the controller, which keeps them functioning as a society. So then they have this helmet that you can put on and get the knowledge, and then you know everything, apparently.
Makes sense to me, yeah.
So I say, she puts the helmet on and is now smart. Oh no, she has a gun. Someone pretends to faint and distract her. They get her gun. So their idea is that whoever has the knowledge can do the procedure to take Spock's brain and put it back in his head. Because you would need, like, extreme medical knowledge to be able to successfully do this. So they put the helmet on Dr. McCoy. And then he's like, oh my god, it's so simple. It's just like, bada bing, bada boom, you put the brain back in. So he's doing the surgery. But as he's doing it, the knowledge goes away. And they're like, oh shit, oh fuck, what do we do? So then they fix Spock's mouth first so he can tell them how to do the rest of the surgery, which... would be traumatic, if I'm being honest. Like, imagine
if you had to tell somebody, yeah,
during your own brain surgery, and the surgeon's like, hang on, can you help me out here? Is it the red one or the blue one? Like, do you know? I'm
not good with brains, I gotta be honest.
I'm like a dermatologist, so this is way, way above my pay grade. Then they go limb by limb, and I said, what do they do when they get to the dick? And then Spock says something sassy, and someone says, I never should have reconnected his mouth, sick burn. And that's all my notes
for
the episode.
Wrecked.
So, yeah, my take here, very weird, very nonsensical plot, in my opinion. A lot was left unresolved. So, like, apparently... like, they leave the episode by telling these ladies, like, no, you don't need the controller. You should just go up to the surface and just be people with these other people. You just be the women and they be the men, and then it'll all be fine. And the ladies are like, but no. And they don't want to do it. And then we kind of never figure out what happens after that. Just kind of left that thread hanging.
Okay.
And that's it. That's my take on this episode.
Well, it is, just to give you the context, it's voted as the worst episode of the original series. That's why I picked
Wow.
it for. Yeah. So the question I have that I was going to ask, and this I think it's pretty obvious for this one, at least, is which was the good episode and which was the bad one? Like, this so clearly is the bad one.
See, that's interesting, because I thought they were both bad. But I wouldn't have pegged this one as necessarily the worst one. But now that I really recap it in my brain, I think you're right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't vote in that, but I probably would have said the same.
It is, yeah.
So, this is one of those stories that I think they had more of in the third season, where it's like, what the fuck is going on here? This doesn't make sense. Right. Why are the characters doing this? It was actually the premiere for the third season.
Right, so, which is shocking, because it, like, usually your premiere episode would have a lot of plot and a lot of stuff to follow up on.
Right, you'd think so. And most of the later series always, like, they'd end their last season on cliffhanger, and then you come back and you watch the resolution.
Right.
So you're coming into it and you're kind of, like, excited and ready to go. This is, like, what the hell? So it's not a good episode, so... who was the main character of this one?
Sorry, I was doing a good yawn.
Yeah, Becca's real sleepy.
I don't know. It's not Spock, because he's not really in it.
Yeah, no brain, no main character. That's the rule.
I don't know if it's Kirk or if it's McCoy. because mm-hmm. McCoy's got it. He's got that big character moment in the end because he forgets the knowledge, but he has to do the surgery anyway because they all believe in him. And he's like, mm-hmm. big mistake. Huge. I don't know what the fuck
he's just
I'm
a
doing.
Simple southern doctor. Come on.
I'm just a regular old doctor, not a brain surgeon. So I guess I would say McCoy. He has that nice okay. moment at the end. Is that correct? Okay.
I this is one where I would say it's more of an ensemble. Like Kirk is always the lead right. because he's Kirk, but you see a lot of Kirk and Spock either sharing or sometimes Spock takes the focus. Something that the older series do that the newer ones, like when I say newer, I mean the ones on Now, aren't as good at, is shifting the focus amongst the rest of the crew. And so that's how you get to know the other people and what goes on with them. But the original series was never great about having like a Chekhov episode, right? Like you didn't spend the episode hanging out with Chekhov and learning what he had going on. He's the Russian guy. He's not actually Russian, by the way. That's a fake accent. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, I did not.
It's not his real hair either.
Oh.
So they brought him on. Actually, I think Amok Time was the first episode he was in, but they brought him on in season two to attract a younger audience, and they made him look like one of the monkeys. But the story that they told the press was like, we heard in Russia, they're like, they got a black lady and a Scottish guy and that Asian guy, but no Russians. What are they scared of? And so the story they told was like, to satisfy that paper, they put a Russian on there, but really it was to capture the youth audience.
Hmm.
Marketing. That's how you do it. That's how we defeat communism, is with Russians on the bridge of the Enterprise.
Was that a thing? I guess the Cold War was happening when this was all going on.
It was kind of one of those things I'm sure was controversial at the time because you're like, oh my God, a Russian is cooperating and being friendly, but they're communists.
But
the future's crazy.
But
yeah, so it's a whole thing. But yeah, so it's a bad episode. And I think you're right. Like McCoy is probably the closest to the main character in this one, but somewhere between Kirk, McCoy, and Spock is where it really is, would be my guess. Yeah. So again, what did you like about the episode, if anything?
I mean, it was definitely a unique plot. I will give them points for originality. I would not have thought of this. And... the concept of
Raiders
like,
really do be thinking.
Yeah, they do be thinking of stuff. This concept of like where these guys were like, what are women? What do you mean? So then you think about it and you're like, are these ladies just coming up like every couple months raping these guys and then going down and like having children? And then they put the boy
if they're
babies,
a boy child, they're like, oh no,
get out of here, go not. Back up to the cold. Yeah, so that was definitely strange. And there was that nice, like, very matriarchal society. Give them points for that. Mm-hmm. But, like, take away points because they're, like, lady power bad. Go up to the surface and let the big men be in charge. You don't need mm-hmm, your controller. Mm-hmm. You can have men take care of you.
Yeah. They're so strong.
Yeah.
What did you hate about it, if anything?
Confusing, very confusing. Mostly just like there's like these things that are plot devices that they aren't like they're not explained for any reason. Like it's the same shit as the last episode, right, where he's able to just be like, actually no, I don't need to have sex anymore. In this one it's like, if we don't get his brain back he'll die later, but for some reason he's alive now. Don't worry about
it. He can't stay that way, despite what we're keeping him alive, but it's not going to last.
Yeah, I think that was my big complaint, is like they use that as a plot device that they have, like, they only have 24 hours, but it doesn't make sense as to why or how. It just mm-hmm. is. It's just a statement. They state it, and then that's how it is. Yeah. So that was dumb, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. So the universal translator thing, you mentioned, you know, they could just understand each other.
Yeah.
That's like a key piece of the Star Trek world, is that they have a device. In later series, it's the comm badge. Like you saw in this, they have the flip communicator, so it's different. The communicators pick up the language, and there are rules to language where like certain words appear more than others. So the more you hear them, you can start building a language database off of them, is the theory. Obviously, okay. we can't do this today, really, but they can in the future of Star Trek. They actually show it being invented in one of the other series that takes place earlier in the timeline. So it wasn't something they always had. And when they lose it, it becomes a huge fucking problem, which is typically amusing, but sometimes dangerous. So they've got that, but stuff like the transporters and whatever, like, you're thrown all this technology and you just have to accept it. But it's kind of the same way with, like, Star Wars, where it's like, yeah, they just have hyperspeed and the Death Star can just be a thing. Whatever.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, if I'm going to, like, think about parallels in Star Wars, you never question why, like, people can understand what R2-D2 is saying when he's just right? like, boop, boop, boop. And they're like, yeah, you're right. We should go do that thing on that planet. And he's like,
we should kill those guys, R2. You're absolutely right. And he's going, no, no, that's not what I said.
That's not what I said. You're taking this out of context. Or Chewbacca can be like, rah! And they're like, yeah, great point. Great
well
point.
Well put. Astute. I'm very moved by what you just said.
Yeah. Yeah, and I never questioned that, so I guess this makes sense.
Yeah.
But I also watched Star obviously Wars as a child, so that was different.
Yeah. It's a conceit for... You know, how are you going to do this if you don't have the actual language? Later mm-hmm. shows now, you'll see more, they'll speak in the native language for whatever species, and you'll actually see captions and stuff like that.
Okay.
But it's interesting because then when you watch some of these series, you basically never hear anything other than English if you're watching yeah. the English versions. So there's, in Picard, which is a modern series, there's stretches where they're speaking in Spanish, which is super interesting because... Huh. You never heard Spanish. Everyone always spoke English for years and years and years. So it's kind of nice now. But the Universal Translator is, yeah, a conceit to that. And then there's stuff like the transporters, which some people are like, oh, you know, they dissolve you and they kill you. What appears on the other end is a clone of you, a copy of you with your memories. Because you died when they dissolved you into energy. What it does is it takes matter, turns it into energy, and then sends the energy somewhere else and then reconstitutes it.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't like dying. I don't need
weird.
To be anywhere that badly.
Yeah.
It's like they've got all sorts of stupid stuff to there's actual fake science behind it to the point where like a couple of weeks ago Chris sent me a video and said, you know, there's gravimetric shear, what do we do? And I was like, oh, you gotta reroute power to the structural integrity field. Like there's fake science behind all of it that is consistent and I wish I didn't know so much about it.
That's a plot a little like I watch Criminal Minds and there's the character in Criminal Minds, Spencer Reed, who's like the guy who's like has all the memories, like photographic memories, super smart. He's the nerd guy. And nice.
He's not the goth girl. He's the nerd guy.
Yeah. And so at one point this like character comes in, sees him in the office early and he's like, oh, what'd you do this weekend? Like think about all the physics mistakes in Star Trek. And he's like, actually, there's not that many inaccuracies in Star Trek. There are certain improbabilities, but actually not that many physics mistakes. And I was like, huh, thinking about that now as you say this, like the things that they're saying are happening, like are things in physics that somebody certainly thought about. It's just, you know, it's not actually possible. But
yes, I don't know if it's true for the original series, but later series in particular had like science consultants and people who they would go to and be like, hey, is this at all possible? But at the end of the day, it's still entertainment, right? So they're not going to bend necessarily to the rules of real
right.
physics to account for that. Because like warp drive, right? Based on relativity, you can't go faster than the speed of light. That's how fast you can go. So the way warp drive works is you are in a warp bubble in subspace, so it shifts you into a different realm essentially with different rules where you can move faster, but they also have impulse drive, which functions at like a percentage of light speed, so they'll be like, oh, half impulse, and they can still move at very high speeds with fusion generators but not warp drive. So there's a lot of science behind it that I actually find really interesting. The Chris and I get in disagreements sometimes because they care very much about the characters and their relationships and that kind of stuff, and if that comes off weird, Chris is really frustrated with the show. Like they don't like a lot of the modern Star Trek because it's not as strong with the characters, and I dislike things because that's not consistent with what they've shown us before. That sound effect doesn't make sense in this part of the timeline. Like I like the real world idea of it, and they really like the characters, which I get. That's just who we are. But there's a lot of very interesting science behind all of it. And then, of course, the original series in particular inspired a lot of crap that we have now. Like, the communicators are basically cell phones. They had pads that they would write on, you know, like the big things that they had, a stylus and stuff. And obviously now we have iPads. So it's interesting how much of that inspired it. Or even something like the actress that plays Uhura, who I know wasn't really featured in these episodes. I don't even think you saw Scotty in the first one. Like, some of those characters were just never, or weren't always around in every episode. But the actress that played her, Nichelle Nichols, was going to quit the show. And Martin Luther King Jr. was like, no, we fucking love that show. You got to stay there because you're a black lady on the bridge. Wow. And they treat you like everybody else. Like, it, the social impact, as goofy as the show is, was huge.
Wow.
To the point where NASA named the first shuttle, the test bed for the shuttle program, was named Enterprise because that's what people wanted it to be called. And wow. Then that shuttle shows up in background shots in other series. So it's a weird, like,
nice.
In-universe, it wouldn't make sense. But so, yeah, it is goofy. It's stupid, but very influential. I like Star Trek.
Nice.
So any final thoughts on what you watched today? I know you're not gonna, but I wish we could watch and talk about each episode, because there are some that are more universally loved, that touch more on human condition, emotions. There are some very strong social commentary episodes, like on racism, sexism, that kind of stuff. But it's still the 60s, right? So their views are a little different.
Yeah, it's
but
not
they pushed
great.
What they could at the time, which was interesting.
Right. I think I see why people enjoy it from these, from the two episodes that I've watched. It seems like it was a good show for its time. Like, can't fault it for that. And yeah, I like the semi-progressiveness of it, and that there are all these characters that are different races and genders, and they're all just kind of working together. And that probably was pretty scandalous at the time. So I like that.
I think looking at it with a modern lens, it's a very kind of white progressivism, because it shows a future that is like, Western culture won. Like, we did it. All the other cultures were wrong. We won.
The white dudes are still in charge.
Yes. The majority of the crew is still white, still men. Yep. I mean, other than Uhura, you see that. And Nurse Chapel is kind of treated as... She is a side character. She's never a main character, really. She's actually the creator's wife, is the actress that plays her. They did one pilot for the original series where she was the first officer, and the network was like, absolutely not. Women can't be in charge. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's so dumb.
So they bumped her down to the blonde nurse. Instead of the brunette that could be in command, it was the blonde nurse who is in love with Spock and, you know, cries.
Yeah,
so it, to me, it's a very white male progressivism. And there's a lot of commentary out there about how in this universe where they have no money, they don't use money in the Federation, which is the large organization that Starfleet is the military and science arm of. They're like, the best job you can get is to go into the military. Doesn't that seem weird? So there's a lot of commentary out there that is interesting to read. But at the end of the day, I'm like, it's still a TV show, so I don't care that much, you know?
Yeah.
But, well, cool. Great.
I think
that might be the first episode.
Looking forward to it. Gotta go watch some more episodes.
I know. I've given you, next week is going to be The Next Generation. This premiered in 1987. So to give you a little bit of context before you watch these ones, the original series ended in 69. They did an animated series, I think, in 70 or 71. It was early 70s. Then it went away. But then what happened in 1977? Star Wars fucking landed. And everyone was like, oh my God, space is cool? So Star Trek, and also 2001 A Space Odyssey, which if you haven't seen is very good, but it's a very kind of slower, cerebral movie. So in 1979, they make the first Star Trek movie. And then between the first movie and Next Generation, they did 5 Star Trek movies. The fifth one was produced while they were making the first Next Generation season. So there are differences in what you're going to see in those episodes. I'm excited for you to watch them. That's the one I grew up with, so that's the one that I remember most fondly.
Well, great.
So get excited.
This is my excited face.
Yeah.
Woo.
Well, oh my God.
Yeah.
The excitement's blowing out the screen. Yeah.
Calm down.
Turn down your speakers, folks, because she's going so loud.
Take out
with
your
the
headphones.
Excitement.
Woo! Star Trek.
Great. Okay. Well, great. We'll see you on the next episode.